From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Ahead of the President's Tuesday evening State of the Union address, we spoke with two of the young immigrant rights activists who are invited by Democrats to be their guests. Among them, Kenya Yaritza Arredondo Ramos, a DACA recipient and aspiring nurse at Los Angeles Trade Tech College. She was a guest of Congresswoman Lucille Roybal Allard, and author who is the author of the DREAM Act, and Diana Laureano, a Rio Hondo College student, also a DACA recipient, and an advocate of immigrant rights in Orange County. She attended the State of the Union address as a guest of Congresswoman Linda Sanchez. Welcome to the program, Kenya and Diana.
Hi, everyone.
So first, let me ask you, Kenya, to explain a little bit about your own background, who you are. Too often we hear conservatives, Republicans, President Trump talking about immigrants in these general terms, dehumanizing terms, and very abstract terms. So give us a sense of who you are, how you became a DACA recipient.
My name is Kenya Redondo, and I am from Mexico. I was basically raised here in California. All I could remember since I was little that I'm from here. I don't know other place home but California. So every time President Trump talks about the Mexicans or the Hispanics that are undocumented, I felt really, you could say I was frustrated, because I don't see myself as the person that he describes. I see myself as a hardworking student, a mother. I have a stable job, thanks God. And I am not dependent on no one. I depend on myself. And I am here to advocate for all those people that are afraid to be here and show that we can do it and no one should be afraid, even if we are undocumented. So basically that's what I feel when President Trump speaks about us in that manner.
And Diana, same question for you. You are also a DACA recipient. Trump, among his first acts and during his first year in office, tried to cancel the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals programs, a program it's been held up in courts, and actually it's been upheld by the program has been upheld by the courts, but its fate is still unknown. So how did you come to be a DACA recipient? Give us the story of your background.
So I came to the U.S. when I was about 4 or 5 years old. I'm from Peru, actually, which is in South America. So growing up, I kind of knew I was undocumented, but I never really knew what came along with it. But little by little, you start figuring out, like, oh, you're never going to be able to drive, or you can't do this, you can't do that because of your status. And we always, being younger, you always have that fear of, you know, something going on, of like being separated from your family. Like, family separation has been going on for years, but now it's just become like a bigger issue because they're literally doing it, ripping a child from their mother at the border. Like, there's just so much that comes along with being undocumented. And then when DACA came about, I remember I was first scared to even apply for it. But my parents were like, you know, we want this opportunity for you. You have this, like, you can have the opportunity to work, the opportunity to go to school, and so on. So it was something that I'm very grateful for. My parents made me apply. They worked hard because, you know, even to apply, you have to pay to apply every 2 years. Plus you have to pay. So the DACA fee as well as the lawyer fees. So it was just a lot, but you know, they did it for me. They did it so that I could have that chance to continue in life. So when I got DACA, I was able to work. I was able to do so much. But at first, you know, like growing up, you always felt limited. But now, like, I understand that even myself, that even though I'm undocumented, I at least have some privilege. And that kind of started my work in advocacy. It's very funny that Linda Sanchez, my representative, was the one to invite me, because she was kind of one of the people who geared me into advocacy. Growing up, I was very involved in community service. My parents always taught me the value of giving back, even though we didn't have a lot. we always, like, my parents always taught me giving back is always, like, you know, it's something that we should do. They taught me being fair, being kind, and so on, like, these core values that are sometimes that, you know, with the rhetoric that Trump uses, they picture us in such a negative light, yet we're taught in a different way, like, that's not who we are. Our community is actually, you know, as Kenya said, they work hard. Our parents work so hard for us, for who we are, for, like, all the opportunities that we were given. They worked so hard for it, and we continue to work hard. We continue to go to school and do so much. But so Linda Sanchez was actually at my school, Rio Hondo, one day before. This was, like, during the whole Trump rescinding DACA, and she told us, basically, she's already an ally, she supports us, that we should be talking to the representatives who don't support us. And so what we did, we decided to collect letters from the students of my college and in support of undocumented students and deliver them to Congress members who weren't in support at the time. So that's what we did. And it was just frustrating when we actually went to see these representatives because they didn't want to listen to us. They didn't even want to open the door. So it was just something that kind of changed my view, like, hey, like, these people are elected to represent the people, to make sure they're listening to us and our concerns, yet they're not doing so. So that kind of started me off. And I met Chula that same day when we were delivering those letters.
Chula is the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, yeah.
Yes, correct. So, like, they were there at Royce's office at the time when we had gone to deliver the letters there too. And so we met up with them, and I got really involved in advocacy work. I loved what we were doing, and I found my voice there because for so long growing up, you know, you're undocumented, you're told that you don't really matter. Politics are completely irrelevant to you because you can't even vote, you can't do this, you can't do that. So for so long, like, I never really saw myself being involved in any type of advocacy work or politics because I felt like I didn't matter, that because of my status, my voice didn't matter. But because of the work that we've been doing and all the people I have met, I found my voice, and I'm here today, or I'm here. I was here to represent my community, which is something, like, I'm honored to do. So we got into this advocacy work, and it led me to where I am today. I'm actually the current student trustee of Rio Hondo College, which is something I'm proud to make sure I'm always representing my community and making sure we continue to advance and making sure that they see us for who we truly are, not for someone that the current president depicts us out to be in the right. It's true. Yeah, we're human like everyone else. Our core values are just the same as anyone else, you know, working hard, being kind, giving back. Like, there's so much to it.
Diana Laureano and Kenya Redondo are both DACA recipients. Speaking to them before the State of the Union address on Tuesday evening, the two of them are guests of Congresswoman Linda Sanchez and Congresswoman Lucille Roybal to attend the State of the Union address. Kenya, how do you feel about the President turning immigration into such a political and politicized issue, the fear-mongering about the caravan of migrants, and, you know, recently there was a huge fentanyl drug bust at the U.S. border that Customs and Border Protection proudly showed off that they found, you know, many hundreds of pounds of fentanyl hidden in the bottom of a tractor trailer that was on its way to Arizona, filled with Mexican produce. And this was a truck that had entered through an official port of entry, had nothing to do with the crisis at the border, would not have been stopped by a wall. And this is the kind of thing that Trump is using, you know, that drugs and crime and violence are flowing over the border. He's using this to make his case for why he needs $5.7 billion for a wall. How do you feel about this? Because he's essentially talking about people just like you.
I just think it's the way that he's trying to attack and divide us in a way. He's concentrating so much on the wall instead of trying to implement a solution to what we really need. Yes, maybe we need more security, but yes, we need to take care of the immigration population because it's been too long that we haven't had a solution to it. So I just think it's a way of him just trying to get attention and not actually giving us solutions. We need a comprehensive reform. It's time, and we're here for that. That's why we're here, to speak about it, to have the voice for other people that can be here. But I think it's just a way of him just putting us aside and not trying to give us what we really want, which is the Dream Act now.
So the Dream Act, which was has been around in Congress, was actually authored by your representative, Lucille Roybal Allard, and it is something that the Democrats have been attempting to demand. Do you hope, both Kenya and Diana, that with the Democrats in control of the House, that do you trust the Democrats to make immigration an immigration reform, pro-immigrant immigration reform, a priority? Because one of the things that we've heard from, you know, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is that they're happy to give Trump $5.7 billion in security at the border, in enforcement at the border, greater surveillance at the border. They just don't want to give money for the wall. Now, your two specific representatives may not be taking those specific positions, but do you hope that the Democratic Party as a whole is going to have the backs of immigrants while they have power, at least in the House? Diana first.
So basically, when it comes to that, we want to hold both the Democrats and Republicans accountable. We want to make sure that neither of them are using us for bargaining chips. We just want to make sure that something is passed, like a comprehensive immigration reform, specifically right now, the Clean Dream Act, and to find a solution for what is going on. But overall, when it comes to any sort of bargaining, like we're not willing to bargain for a wall. We're not willing to bargain for anything else, because there are so many things that, like, they try to add things on to legislation sometimes that actually harm our communities. We're not willing to accept anything that's going to give us a benefit but harm the rest of our community. Overall, it's just like, yeah, we want to make sure that they're focusing on the issue and solely on the issue of fixing the problem that the president himself created. So we are fighting for that. We're not willing to be bargaining chips, and we're not willing to harm our community just for the benefit of ourselves.
Right. Where I'm not willing to give up, to take something from others that have been in the fight for so long and say, yes, we'll take that. No, it's time for something for everybody. It's equality. If not, I'm not willing to take that.
And are you worried that there is this tremendous trauma among a huge and really untold numbers of undocumented immigrants that are coming in, many of them looking for a better life, that are being traumatized, separated, disappeared? There's still news reports of migrant children that have not been reunited. The government is essentially giving up on trying to reunite them with their families or their parents, and turning them into these political footballs. And you have a whole generation, it seems, of young, newly immigrated, undocumented people who are going to be bearing the scars of this administration for years to come. Diana?
That's why we're...
Honestly, what this administration has been doing, especially to families, to what they have been doing, separating families, this is just inhumane. This is completely wrong and should be something that it shouldn't have happened at all. And it's not fair to anyone, because what they're doing is traumatic. Like, we understand the feeling of having that fear of being separated from your family, because growing up, you're undocumented and that's a possibility. But for them, they're using people as a fear tactic for the undocumented community. They're basically saying that no one can come here or else this is going to happen. And it's not fair to anyone. And it's completely inhumane of them to do so. It's like, I really personally, I don't understand how they can harm children. Like, how you can even, like, they're children. They should not, no one should be able to separate them from their families. This is just something that they're using as a fear tactic for everyone else, and it's just completely wrong. And we know for a fact that we've seen videos, we've heard audio of what has been going on, and these kids are left with so much trauma, and it's just completely inhumane and cruel. This is something that should never have happened, and it's really disappointing to hear that our government is giving up on reuniting families, because the U.S. like actually their history, our history is a complicated one, and they have done so many tragic things as well in the past, and it's so sad to see that we've never learned from our mistakes and we continue to do such harmful things to people. And it's just completely wrong. We're all human. We're all people. Everyone, like, people who come here, we like, everyone comes here for a second chance, for, you know, the American dream that we so much talk about, for freedom, for liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Yet we're denied that. Yet people are separating children from their families. Like, all these negative things that are going on and creating harm to humans. Like, it's just completely wrong. And we know that this is just a tactic that they're using, but we're here. That's why we continue to be here. We continue to fight, because everyone should have that chance at a second chance, and like to be able to have the ability to fight for their dreams. So that's why we continue to fight. We'll continue to be here, because this is just something that's completely inhumane, wrong, and cruel, and should not never have happened. And they should continue to fight to reunite the families, because that's just horrid. It's like, I have no words to say for that, because this is something that should have never happened.
Well, I want to thank the two of you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you and all the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Diana Laureano. She is a Rio Hondo College student, a DACA recipient, an advocate for immigrant rights. And she is also appeared at the State of the Union address as a guest of Congresswoman Linda Sanchez. Kenya Yaritza Arredondo Ramos, also my guest, also a DACA recipient, an aspiring nurse at the Los Angeles Trade Tech College. And she was a guest of Congresswoman Lucille Roybal Allard at the State of the Union address. I spoke with the two of these DACA recipients before the Tuesday evening State of the Union address. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.